This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Studios live from Radio Row in New Orleans. You're rolling with the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It is hour number one, G-Bag Nation. We're live in New Orleans on Radio Row. Our coverage brought to you by Stella Artois and the Low T Center. Let's get some football in here. General at your service, Hatties. There's Brian Broaddus, former Cowboys scout, NFL executive, Super Bowl winning champ in his natural environment here. It's a double natural environment for Broaddus, not only on Radio Row, around his NFL peeps, but also in Louisiana, where he dominates and learned the crawfish trade. You have, of course, Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup back there. Master Control here, 75 and fits you. Ready to go 5 hours, flawless once again. Woolchuck and Chia follower here. You have Ruben Portillo, remote engineering, along with DJ Pridemore. Tim Collins producing here, Radio Row. And, of course, Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Check out our confessional videos on social and 105thefan.com. They're brought to you by Best Buy Windows and Siding. All right, here it is, final show, guys. We have a new Cowboys offensive line coach that could very well be the top story. Jerry Jones has some quotes from last night at NFL Honors we can talk about as well. But it's Connor Riley as O-line coach. Kansas State the last 6 years. He worked with Cooper Beebe there. Won 5 national titles with North Dakota State. Yeah. Considered one of the best offensive line coaches in college football, from what I can tell, Brian.
Yeah, no, everything about him has been really positive from scouts that have gone through Kansas State that I've talked to. It's like I say, you get to a point in time, you're like, well, what's in the negative about him? I'm like, what? Any negative about this guy? And it's like, no, this guy is a really, really good coach. And he's a really good developer of players. And, you know, Kansas State has, you know, kind of goes back to the Bill Snyder administration. You know, Kansas State has always been a team that's, you know, run the football. They've always been physical, you know, and that's their demeanor there in Manhattan, Kansas. But everything about Coach Riley has been just super positive from scouts all across the league that I know that make that call to Kansas State.
He took over play calling duties as well as OC the last 2 seasons after their OC, I believe, came to A&M. They averaged 34.6 points per game the last 2 seasons. That ranks 19th nationally. Cooper Beebe, by far, their most accomplished offensive lineman that's come out of there. So it's not like he's doing this, just cranking out first-rounders, and they're bringing him like 5-star guys to go pave roads with. This is a guy that I believe checks the box of being able to do more with less, Chief.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a guy that is a true developer of talent.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And, I mean, Cooper Beebe being a defensive lineman, and then him and probably some others on that offensive side of the ball going, I don't know. I think we got a spot for you here on the O-line, and look what's happened to him. So, yeah, I think this is exactly the type of hire that you want. And when you look at, I mean, the K-State gets a lot of credit year in, year out for their offensive line, just a well-oiled machine, despite not having those top-tier type of recruits on the offensive line. They're always being recognized in the Big 12 for one of the best offensive lines in the conference or whatever. So,
yeah, I think they were a third. They were one of three teams nominated for best O-line overall this year.
Yeah,
The Moore Award for the offensive line play.
He also does a great job of, like, and I found this out last year with Cooper Beebe. They will do a lot of, hey, we're going to change positions.
There you go. That's what I was going to say. You practice different positions.
Yeah, so like you've got an understanding for now everybody's role along the offensive line. So now if I miss my assignment, I now get an understanding for like, okay, now I've really screwed over my right guard. So like that's how Cooper Beebe, as a freshman, he did play center. But in games, like if somebody's got a shuffle, if there's an injury, like everybody's prepared. He sounds like a guy that's all, like, attention to detail matters a lot with him.
Blogging the Boys has a pretty good piece and just some details of it. 11th in rushing yards per game nationally this year. An impressive feat considering three of the teams ahead of them were triple option offenses. So that's cool. You put him with Clayton Adams, your new OC, and Shoddy, and it appears they have a real big commitment to getting this thing coached up. I remember, you know, we were wondering, is Adams going to coach O-line and be OC? But they want to bring a lot of guys in here to try to get this right.
Yeah, and you look at the teams in the Super Bowl, and especially with the Eagles with Jeff Southland, you know, and where he came from. That's a college coach that has adapted to the NFL life. I mean, he's got some great players, don't get me wrong. But there's some a little bit more about the hands-on stuff that you have to be in college football. And you mentioned sometimes you don't have all five-star recruits. Yeah. You know, you got to mix and match some of these players. And his ability to teach, and I think that was something that when I was talking to people about Adams, with the Cardinals, it was like it's teaching, it's developing, it's this background that they have to be able to get the best out of the guys that they have. And so, you know, tip my cap to them to go out and get a guy that was, you know, a lot of people, like I said, I just throwing out the name to guys and like, no, this dude can coach. And these are guys that are scouts for other teams, too. So excited to hear that.
That's awesome. It feels like you're just getting more modern. This isn't Brian Schottenheimer stepping in and going for old head, retread. This is what we do. This is him trying to broaden his coaching horizons to some extent.
Yeah.
And being like, hey, I know what we need. I don't personally know how maybe to implement it, but I'm going to go identify those guys who have done the college thing, done some NFL stuff when it comes to Clayton Adams. And when you look at what the Cowboys have been for a long time, it's inside zone, it's outside zone. Inside zone, outside zone. That is pretty much what they do.
Yeah.
Over 30% inside zone, over 20% outside zone,
right.
And then everything else is just a small percentage of trying to mix in different concepts. But when you look at Clayton Adams and when you look at this new O-line coach that they just hired out of K-State, I mean, in 2024, it's 20% inside zone, 18% outside zone, 15% man, 15% counter, 15% power, 13% pull lead.
Yeah.
Like, there's an emphasis on diversity. They're not just, hey, when defenses show up to play the Cowboys over the last few years, inside zone, outside zone, that's it. I mean, what an easy week at the office for an NFL defensive coordinator. Now all of a sudden you're practicing defense for the week, and we're like, crap, guys, we got six different concepts of the way that they're going to want to attack us here.
Yeah, you can't necessarily trust your eyes in that situation.
No.
I mean, against the Cowboys, you see a play flowing one way or another, and you can almost guarantee that if you arrive in that hole, you know, it's not going to get cut back or you're not going to get tricked. Okay, Jerry Jones said he's trying to win now. Okay, so we're hoping for the best on this. I think the Riley news is definitely something to be positive about. This Jerry Jones, you know, thought. He said the deal with Dak makes him the top paid player of all time, and that's a win now move. And then he said this about the cap. He says, I think you ought to look at free agency, not so much the criticism we got last year, but look at in years past and how we've done it. We'll probably be more in line. Look at
in line with what the league is doing, or in line of how he's done business
going
in the past?
Into this free agency.
Yeah,
he said don't look at last year.
Okay, so he's thinking about maybe like maybe
how
it's
how we've done it will probably be more in line with the years past.
Maybe it's less about signing Oso Digizua and trying to sign Jordan Lewis and guys like that.
Less of our own guys
and go instead of like and they've been a little burned. Yep. By some of the second contracts that they've given, and when they've tried to draft and develop and sign their own, they've gone off the path. And now, if you tell me that they're going to say, "Okay, we're going to let Osa walk, we're going to let Golston walk, we're going to let Jordan Lewis walk, we're going to let guys walk, and we're going to go out and try and trust our pro department to evaluate the Buccaneers, to evaluate the Saints, to evaluate all these other teams," mm-hmm. yeah. and maybe that's the way that you're going to do a little bit more of some business.
I mean, some of their best signings have been finding guys in free agency that are undervalued.
Exactly.
And you know, so that's why they don't want to spend big in free agency,
right.
At least in the past, is because I'm going to have to pay a premium for you, and I'm not even sure we haven't had you in the building.
Right.
Well, you know, that's a good strategy, but they didn't obey that mindset when it comes to their own guys.
Yep.
And suddenly they're overpaying guys and almost rewarding guys just for being drafted by them and being in the building and being good enough to start.
Yes.
You know, it's like, okay,
absolutely.
We're going to make you one of the top 10 players at your position.
Yeah.
And instead of doing that, I would say go find legitimate leaders at their position, like a Myles Garrett, spend on them.
Right.
Or if you can't do that, then do, you know, try to do what the Eagles did with Zach Bond. You know, I think that's got to be the best signing
of the
year.
It's a hell of a find, absolutely.
In the NFL, and I don't know. At least it's some sort of a shift, a change. I don't know if you can read enough into that and say, hey, we're going all the way back into the 2000s. We're going to get really aggressive, you know, trying to buy up players or use a credit card.
Yeah, guys, in the 2000s, we were so horrible drafting that you were forced to go spend money. And then we you know, it just never, like you say, you were throwing money at guys that didn't help you, and that was a big problem.
Maybe that's how they're going to get back to that time, because now you're not drafting first rounders that you got to pay.
The last two seasons, for sure, it's been you're probably not going to get. And we'll see what happens with the fifth year options coming up on some of these contracts. You know, they're usually pretty good about getting that fifth year option and then kind of parlaying it into something else. But these next two might not be fifth year option guys at all.
On the Micah contract, he said, we spent the most money on anybody in the NFL on a single player last year. If we can do that again, that'd be pretty good. So that'd be nice if we can get one of these done.
Micah is trying to encourage the front office not to wait around.
Yeah.
You know, he wants things done, and I can understand wanting to get paid, but he's like, listen, if we could work something out where it's not last minute, where we can get a little savings, you know, and again, I don't think that David Mulugeta, who does – you know, does Micah's deals, he is a tough negotiator, but a fair negotiator. You know, he gets deals done. So if you get him on the track right now, and then they can maybe get it done, hammer it out, and then give them some leeway to do some other things, I think that's so much better. Mike is even encouraging them to try to do that.
He sure is.
Okay, we'll talk NFL MVP and, you know, the awards from last night a little bit later on in the show. We got to get some basketball in here because the Mavs are now coming home after winning in Boston last night.
Yep.
And that was an impressive victory.
It was.
You know, a lot of guys stepped up, including Klay Thompson. I don't know if you can count on that, but I was impressed with Max Christie, tell you that much. So they're going to host the Rockets tomorrow. Amid concerns for Nico Harrison, I mean, we've talked about the reaction from some Mavs fans, but apparently facing death threats and DFW fans saying, don't even come to the game. I hope nobody is taking these death threats seriously. I think that's reprehensible fan behavior. Hopefully it's just a hilarious commentary on how extreme fans are these days and nobody's actually taking that serious, because I don't think anybody wants to flush the rest of their life over a decision to trade a basketball player. That would be tough. You know, I'm not even willing to flush my Mavs fanmanship or watching basketball over it, but I know that's small potatoes for some people. You know, but I just think that as we go through this grieving process, you know, a lot of fans are dug in, and I don't know what the end of it is. I don't think Nico's going to be able to go to a game until, you know, it's clear the fan base is forgiving him. Either you go on a 10-game winning streak, you're deep in the playoffs. If I'm Nico, I might be coming in a back door and going to a box or something.
Sure.
You know, am I going to watch this game in the office?
You know, he's got to be in a suite. I don't think he can really be in his usual spot.
I mean, that would just be a huge distraction.
Yeah, I mean,
fans would be coming up from all over the place trying to yell at him and throw popcorn at him at least.
Yeah. But, I mean, with this being said, I get it. I'm frustrated. I'm annoyed that he made this move.
Yeah.
But it's
I definitely want him heckled.
Yeah.
You know,
come on. I mean, the death threats were crossing a line.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I just think that's
like Allie LaFleur's putting out a public message. Oh, my gosh, they're scared about the player. Like, this is basketball. What are we doing here? Come on, guys.
Well, I mean, the thing, I know Dawson and I, if you saw the comments of Dawson and I with the whole thing with, you know, the running back out in San Francisco. Well, those people out there, there were some things that were said to us, tweeted at us, and, you know, messages that were left and stuff like that.
Might not be safe for me there next year, actually.
Yeah,
I think
maybe you can't go.
When people are saying stuff like that, that gets my attention. You know, we talk a lot of sports and kind of back and forth on things, but when people start threatening your life over that, then – you know, that gets your attention.
I mean, I don't think I'd be fearing for my life if I'm Nico tonight, but I think I'm not going just so it's not a distraction. Or if I'm going, it's going to – I don't even know if you can be in a suite, you know, because I think the fans would turn and yell at you there. What about you, Chief? Are you going if you're Nico tonight?
Absolutely not. Didn't Cuban have, like, a little suite or something down there?
Well, he sits, like, next to the bench.
No,
but
I know, but doesn't he – he's got, like, a little – there's like
an
a little
owner suite?
There's almost like a little apartment kind of thing that he has.
A lot of the arenas have one way up top.
I think Cuban's, from what I remember, is somewhere down in the bowels of the arena.
Yeah, it's under. So that's where he would have his, like, step machine and all that stuff.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, you park it on a comfy couch in there, you watch the game that way, you're still within striking distance of all the people you need to be in touch with for whatever reason, I guess, as a general manager on a game night. But, yeah, absolutely not am I walking out anywhere near that crowd. They're going to start throwing stuff.
Sure.
There's no question they're going to start throwing stuff, and the entire place – I mean, I'm still expecting some big-time bleep you Nico chants, whether they see him or not. But him being there is – I don't think he can do that for a while.
Let me ask you this, though. Does – if he does show up and takes all that, do you respect him for doing that?
Yeah.
If it's business as usual for him,
yeah.
Do you respect that as a general manager if you're a fan?
I would think so, you know, because I think if you can't, as a public figure, go amongst the people that you're working with or representing or whatever, that's a major problem. So if he can go out there and take all the yelling and it might be a moment that would create, you know, an ending or some sort of closure for the fans.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. To me, me personally, if I was him, I would play business as usual and just go for it. Just
rip the Band-Aid off.
Just
and
go
whatever
for it.
Happens,
I mean,
happens.
Now, I've seen, like, back in the 50s, there's been, like, in hockey, there one time a guy sitting behind, you know, general manager sitting behind his bench there, and a fan came up and slugged the guy, you know, sitting right there, you know, fan coming down. But this is 1950s. You know, there could be protection and stuff and people around him and things, but I think if I'm Nico Harrison, the best thing you can do is go out there and face it. You know, don't hide from this. Go out there and show the fan base, like, listen, I'm your general manager. I made the call. If you want to yell at me and scream at me and boo me and do all that stuff, we've seen what's happened on social media before with people. They get mad at you for one or two days, and then it kind of goes away. You know, but I would go out there and face it and play business as usual. And show them, hey, I'm the general manager of this team, and you're not going to run me off no matter how much you want to boo me.
I agree.
Do stuff.
Yeah, I agree with you. You're the general manager of the team. You're not going to be going to the games.
Yeah.
It's your job. I mean, I thought it was a little bit ridiculous that he wasn't there today with Anthony Davis.
That bothers me.
Like, you're basically leaving these guys out to dry. You made this trade. I think you got to be there.
That bothers me.
I think that's more important than showing up to the arena tonight. No one's
tomorrow.
Tomorrow. No one cares about seeing a general manager in general. Like, it's not like, oh my gosh, your general manager is not sitting in the stands or whatever for your game. To me, him leaving those guys out to dry and Mark Folliwell's having to do intros because he's not. I mean,
that's bad.
It was a bad look.
I lost respect for
that.
Today.
That part of it is not. That's not a respectable thing at all.
Good conversation, gentlemen. G bag of the day coming up at 2:30. Little sports hodgepodge next, Chief. What you got?
Tales from a Thirsty Thursday honors night in New Orleans next.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour.
The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nation.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. HitFrankelFirm.com. Chief.
Yeah, we didn't go to the Playmaker Party last night. I'm a little bit disappointed because apparently it was an absolute madhouse when Michael Irvin walked out of whatever his party was on Bourbon last night. And people caught wind that it was the Playmaker. I saw clips and pictures and stuff. I mean, you would have thought it was a president walking down.
Yeah.
And it's just all sorts of security just pushing people away.
The Playmaker's here.
I bet that
step
was
aside.
I bet that was a great party, but Walchuk got after it a little bit last night, hanging out with Hellman and whatnot. What time did you get in last night, Walchuk?
Dude, probably like 2. I think like one of the bars closed, and I just walked back with Joe Hoyt. They're staying just down the road from us, so yeah, it was a good night. All of a sudden, you go out in Bourbon.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, the night gets away from you. You look up, it's like, holy crap, it's 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Traffic all right, time, yeah.
Let's waddle ourselves back home.
I went to Parasol's, which is an incredible spot to go to, sort of a local spot for, you know, the kind of food they make here. It was amazing. Then I jumped in an online poker game, 200 players, $55 entry. I was in fourth place with 11 players to go.
Oh.
And I finished 11th.
Yeah. Oh.
Guy to my left kept bluffing me, and I was like, all right, I'm going to get this dude, right? I thought he bluffed me. I push all in on him. He insta-called. He had 5-2. The board came 2-2s. I was Dunsky.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah. Well, yeah, it was a good night. We did do the family dinner. That was, I would say, a little below average.
Well, you got a nice wine shower.
There was an incident there. Ooh. I felt terrible for the waitress because when you're kind of in one of those uppity places, when something spills, it's like someone got shot in there, and everybody is now on high alert. Oh my gosh, did I just offend somebody? Are they going to leave us a bad Yelp review?
Yeah.
So they were in scramble mode. But I did, thank God I was wearing black pants last night because an entire bottle basically of red wine just came splashing down
all over.
Did
they buy your meal or anything?
They went the free cocktail route, right? So
get a round on us.
And it actually worked out because Hagee was there.
Yeah.
Not drinking, but he goes ahead and puts it down for a double tequila soda, brings it over to me.
Right.
And so as the victim, I end up getting two free cocktails out of it.
There you go.
So it was a good time. I was scared of the oysters. Walchuk, I mean, you can speak to them. Dominant, right?
They were
you
really
loved
good.
It?
I went
Rockefellers?
The Rockefeller.
With the spinach. And
First time I've ever had them.
There you go.
It was really, really good. The funny thing was I ordered them, and then I think Choppy also ordered a salad. Sean ordered a soup. Never got the soup until the meal had already come.
The service in general was a little...
Oh, subpar, huh?
But the rest of it, like I went to the bathroom, I came back, and the oysters had shown up, and I think that Sean, and you might have as well, Eric, like thought they were bringing
table.
That to make up for the wine.
I thought they were bringing free apps. We didn't know Walchuk ordered the Rockefellers.
Yeah. And it was fine. I mean, they brought a lot. There was like 6, and they were huge.
Yeah.
So we all kind of shared them, but then I think Eric and Sean ended up eating Choppy salad.
We did. But that was fine. I don't think Choppy really cared too much about that.
No, he was not on that
but
bone.
But the size of the meals, like the portion sizes, were really, really small.
Very small.
So we ended up, me, Walchuk, and Ruben, after dinner, it's like 10 o'clock. I'm still starving. I would have not known based on the way my stomach felt that I had eaten anything.
Yeah.
So then we went and hit the Italian bistro down the street from the hotel.
Pizza'd it up.
Second dinner, wings and pizza, and that was That was special. I was paying the price for it this morning, but I'm glad we made that decision. That was an important decision that we made together. Now, last night with the honors and stuff, and it was a who's who just walking around. I mean, we're driving down the street, and it's just players and different NFL personnel type people. So it was cool. Snoop Dogg doing some hosting, cracking jokes on people. I didn't know if Broadus got emotional about Saquon not winning the MVP,
but he was
the O-Poy, so everything's fine.
I turned it off at that point. When they announced it, I just turned it off.
He didn't get a single first place vote.
That's amazing to me, honestly. It's just what he was able to do.
We have the dumbest pregame show in America, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, Barkley didn't even get a freaking vote for first place, because the people that are actually voting for that have a little bit more self-respect and understanding about the sport, unlike the Hall of Fame voters. They don't know what the hell they're doing.
No, the Hall of Fame voters, they took a big L last night.
Now, I think the biggest surprise, did you guys see Jaden Daniels not be unanimous for Offensive Rookie of the Year? He got 49 out of the 50. There's one schmo floating around Radio Row right now who decided to go another route. When we get to the finals, we'll call that guy out, because I know who he is. I know what he's about.
You know who it is?
And he screwed it up. Oh, yeah, it's one of the guys that you don't like, or they don't like you. It's one of those PFF.
Oh, it's Mike Kliss?
No, it's not Mike Kliss.
Mike Kliss is in Denver. Oh. He really hates me.
Kliss is not a guy.
No, he hates me.
No, yeah. Kliss hates you.
And I call him out every time at the combine.
He's an idiot.
Yeah, I'm like that hack. And I can say it loud enough where he can hear me. And I go, they got this hack reporter in Denver named Kliss. And I say it loud enough, and he looks over. And I'm like, yeah, I'm talking about you, Mike. You know.
Yeah.
And he got on me that one time.
It was probably Steve, wasn't it?
Legendary. Palazzo? No, it was the smaller bald one.
Sam.
Yeah, the Irish looking dude.
Probably has some
leprechaun deal.
Is it numbers based?
Yeah, numbers based. And
he went Bowers, I think, right?
He went Bowers.
Wow. Okay, thank you, Chief. More of the finest coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll have a lot of football news throughout the day, of course, live on Radio Row. Time to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius has your G bag today.
All right. Let's make this fast. This is day number five for you right here, Mr. Broadus.
Yep.
If you win today, you'll be nominated for G-Bag of the Year for 2026.
Yes.
That'll be amazing. Wow.
Been on fire. This will be the third one.
Wow. Would it be?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would. Third in a row.
Good for you, bro. Good for you, man. All right. Hey, Broadus also peeped into that advice you had for Nico.
Yes.
What was that advice you said?
What, show up?
Don't be a coward.
Don't be a coward, yeah. Show up.
Just show up, man. Show the
people
that you are
the GM. He didn't show up for the press conference.
He better wear a bulletproof vest.
Oh, whoa.
I'm not going to be at the game. I'm just saying for his own sake.
Whoa. Ooh. Yeah,
that would be quite a visual, wouldn't it? Yeah, it'd be kind of badass.
Show up like Drake with the holes in your hoodie and
the smoke, the smoke coming out the back.
That's an entrance right there.
Amongst the fans,
and
too.
With many
like
men.
Comes down.
Many men's playing over the loudspeakers.
Yeah. All right, man. Here you go, Mr. Broadus. You were talking about sleeping bags and sporting goods stores right here.
Mm-hmm. I would have gone and bought a sleeping bag from like Dick's or one of those sporting goods stores.
Dick.
And just said, here, let's just get in that. If you get cold, you know.
Zip it up.
Zip it up. Bag. Yeah. I just can't be sick, you know.
Well, speaking of Dick's and sports, big L to all of us. We lost.
I knew you were going to do something with that.
Well, we lost.
I was thinking of another sporting goods store, and I couldn't think of another name, like Oshman's or something like
sports
that.
Sports Authority Academy. Sport,
I couldn't, yeah. And it Dick's immediately came into my mind. Pause.
You said it with your mouth. That was
five? I didn't know you went five time there, Brian. Very fitting.
There we go. Yeah,
come on,
Lucia.
I know you got some. You got three others that are much better than that.
That's going fine.
I know you do.
I don't know, man.
Come on, Lucia.
That's going fine.
It's a Friday afternoon, Lucia. You know all those days I used to bring you like food,
man.
You know, oxtails.
Like, give me a solid, please.
I know you got three more better than that, Lucia. I know you do.
I don't know what's better than this right here, bro.
Dick's immediately came into my mind.
I got some monsters laid up right here for you, bro, but
please,
I don't know what's beating
that
one.
I know you do.
All right, let's go to Bowling Green University. That's in Ohio, right?
That is it.
Okay, that's not Bowling Green, Kentucky. Just making sure here. National anthem. I feel like this dude lost a bet or something, or just totally didn't know where he was at.
We caught ourselves.
There you go. I got it now, guys.
Back to the ramparts.
Oh, gosh darn it. Let me reset.
I don't know, man. It sounds like you're going to vote on me.
Back to the top.
Woo! I do like the idea of shortening that thing up a little bit, you know?
Yeah. That's not a bad idea. But hit the high parts. I don't know if that's what he was getting paid to do.
Man.
All right, let's go to Way FM Radio. Now, this is the one in Nashville. I think Way FM Radio, they're all over the nation, I believe. Right. Or maybe in the local region. I'm not totally for sure, but they're a Christian radio station. Ooh. Cowboys fan called into the wrong damn station and started just venting and ranting and yelling at all these ladies.
Yeah, I'm on the radio?
I'm recording you, but it's not live on the radio.
Oh, okay. I just want to make a comment about, you know, all of this stuff y'all promoting about Ash and Jenny, I don't want to hear that no more.
Sure. Hey, I really appreciate your passion. I think you have the wrong number.
No, hold on, sweetheart. Let me correct you, because you sound like Will McClay. I had to correct Will McClay. This is not passion. This is testosterone.
I don't think you called the right phone number, was what I was trying to say.
Okay, all right. So whatever phone to call in the fan, I can talk to, or whatever. See, that's the problem. It's too much passion in Dallas.
No,
y'all need testosterone on that bill.
This is you called a Christian music radio station in Nashville, Tennessee. I think you have the wrong number. You know,
Christian Nashville. Oh my God. Okay, thank you.
Oh
sorry.
My God. That's good.
Oh my God. That's good.
Yep. Oh my God is right, sir.
Oh my God. Okay, thank you.
Exactly what we're here for.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, he has a smoke for Will McClay. You heard that?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I already told Will McClay.
We need more testosterone.
T levels up. We would like that call for a 6 o'clock sound off, though. Maybe what you're drinking, what you're thinking, if you're in the audience.
That was great, bro. That was great. Yeah, I love your advice to Nico, bro. Show up and be the GM and don't worry about it. You know, show these people who you are.
Right.
That is the same advice Puff Daddy gave to Biggie to go out there to L.A.
Oh, did he?
You got to promote this album, Playboy. You know what I mean? We got to go out there.
Come on, Luce.
We got to promote love, Playboy. We can't be caught up in this beef, Playboy.
don't let this override us now, man. Come on.
Same thing.
See if you can bring that Justin Bieber guy, too.
Oh, whoa. Okay. God, dog, man. You wildin'. All right, here we go. Let's see. What else we got? One more. Mr. Broadus, you do have a fishing boat, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, I thought you had a bass boat.
All right. No, I have a friend out there at the lake that has his own boat I ski with. Or not ski, but fish with.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was going to put it as most of the people that have boats are kind of real anal about their boats.
They're very you don't spill stuff on their boats.
Right. Yeah. No watch his shoes. Don't step all on my seats.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Grandpa right here was roasting the hell out of his grandson for messing up the bass boat.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, it was chips and sodas and stuff everywhere. He knocked over the tackle box. Grandpa was roasting him, bro.
Ooh, turn my tackle box up.
I tripped on it.
Well.
Don't remember?
Look at all your trash, boy.
What?
I bring you in the boat, all you do is trash it up. Something with that. Little buck tooth looking ass, boy.
Damn.
Like a damn rabbit.
Damn.
Look at that damn rabbit.
Squirrel. Squirrel looking ass, boy.
Damn.
What? Lips chapped as a baboon's ass.
Come on, man.
Ain't they?
Ain't
bad. Yeah, fire that boat up.
Yeah.
Did he cry?
Yeah. No, he said, Grandpa made fun of him with the.
Oh, wow.
Is it our four-time champ? Brought us looking for five. Is it the Bowling Green University National Anthem, Way FM Radio, or Grandpa roasting grandson for making a mess of the boat? I'm going with Broadus, Chief. How about you?
Yeah, me too.
Lucius?
I want to see Nico go full heel and start agonizing the crowd. Putting his hand around his ear, cuffing it.
Yeah.
Defense.
Defense. Waving the towel.
Defense wins the championships, baby. Yeah. How you like that block?
You guys got it right.
Oh, goodness.
Hilarious. All right, let me go. Yeah, I'm going with Broadus, man.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on, dog.
I'm going to go with the guy who called into the Christian radio station.
Brian.
Fishing boat.
By a score of 3-1-1. Now a five-time G-Bag of the Day champion. Brian brought us on absolute fire. Yeah, we had the Sean and Bobby fight go five-time already. We had the AI Jerry Jones go five-time already. And it's just early February.
Yeah, that's going to
win. Clint Sterner coming up at 3 o'clock. Mike Jones, NFL reporter, next right here. It's the G-Bag Nation and the fam. Thank you, Lucius. National NFL writer at The Athletic, Mike Jones, joining us live on Radio Row now on your home of the Cowboys. And a good afternoon, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Man, it's great to have you here. It's great to be, Football Friday on Radio Row. Cowboys made another hire here. Connor Riley, the offensive line coach and offensive coordinator at Kansas State, coming aboard. They hired Clayton Adams. Are they heading in the right direction here? If you're looking at the NFL and seeing maybe a return to running, both these guys are well respected for how they put that together.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then we've got to see what talent they bring in right there. You know, you can't just plug anybody in, expect to get, you know, amazing results. You might be able to, you know, get serviceable work, but, you know, it's too bad they didn't put this type of emphasis on there last year. But maybe, you know, you learn from your mistakes, but, you know, we'll see.
You know, Mike, there's so many good things to talk about, of course, with the NFL honors last night. How surprised were you Josh Allen went to the MVP?
I was pretty surprised, especially because the All-Pro voting, we had seen Lamar Jackson had a huge advantage over Josh Allen for the number two quarterback spot. So I was thinking, okay, that's a good sign for Lamar that he's going to win that, the MVP. But, you know, because those votes are all in before the start of the playoffs. So there was no swaying right there. But for Allen to you know, leapfrog and pull that one out, you know, good for him. A surprise, but, you know, well-deserved.
Do you think the writers have considered their body of work in the playoffs in this vote? Is that how maybe you'd explain it?
No, well, we have to have the votes in before the playoffs even start.
I know, but Lamar Jackson has struggled. Yeah, like, are we going to give this guy three when he can't win a lot of playoff games, when this guy has and they're close?
I don't think so. I don't think it was that. I think that people looked, and I was back and forth and back and forth on who to vote. I voted for Lamar because he had a historic season, first to pass for 4,000 yards, rushed for 900 in the same season at 40-some touchdown passes, only four interceptions. But I was very close to going with Josh Allen because of how little he had to work with, you know. And I think a lot of people said, look, you take his number one wide receiver away. You don't really replace him with anybody of, you know, Stephon Diggs' talent level. And they continue to compete. And he's got them, you know, they had the number two seed. So what he had to work with was less than what Lamar did. And so I think that's why people gave it to him. I don't think they thought about the playoffs, you know, because Lamar, you know, just a fantastic season. But again, when you compare their rosters, Josh Allen was working with a little less.
Did you have any consideration for Barkley?
I did, very much so. I was so close. But I also, the thing I take in my mind when I'm trying to pick my MVP, I'm like, okay, if I take this guy off of this roster, what are they? And, like, you know, the Eagles would have still been good without Saquon Barkley. You know, I think they would have passed more. You know, and we saw them get to the Super Bowl 2 years ago without Saquon Barkley. Now he added a new level, a new dimension, and a level of dominance. But I was like, you know what? Losing Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen would be a bigger hit. And so I voted for Saquon to be Offensive Player of the Year.
Do you feel like, though, that if the reason that maybe Philadelphia is going to win is because of Barkley?
That is true.
I mean, because, in the biggest game of the year.
Right. And the reason why, I mean, he was a difference maker in the playoffs, definitely during times during the season when the passing game was kind of sputtering, he carried them. And if you look at the last time these two teams played in the Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts played out of his mind. I think he passed for 300 yards. Sure. He rushed for 70 yards. He was their leading rusher, though. The other three running backs combined for like 50 yards. So now, in that game, they lost, you know, by, you know, with 8 seconds left.
Sure.
So now, Saquon Barkley, he's going to rush for more than 50 yards, we would think, unless Steve Spagnuolo's got something magical planned up. He's going to roll out of bed and get that. So that would definitely be a huge X factor. And if the Eagles win, I think it's because he has a monster game.
Sure.
And is the difference maker for them right there.
Do you think you would have voted for him if he had broken that iconic rushing record held by Eric Dickerson?
No, I don't think that. I mean, because he could have broken it. You know what I mean? That wasn't because he wasn't able to. In my mind, it's like, it's too bad. I mean, because there was another game when he played the Giants that he came out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he could have, you know, so I didn't hold that against him. You know, obviously fantastic, and it would have been great to see history if he did get it right there. Again, I was back and forth between the three of those guys again and again and again, but I leaned towards the quarterback.
Is there any chance that that either a Steve Spagnuolo or Dick Fangio could end up getting back into a head coach opportunity?
I don't think this year. Because
certainly no, yeah.
But
in general, could either one of those guys level back up to be a head coach?
I don't know if Vic Fangio. I don't know if he would want to be. I didn't get the sense that he was loving being a head coach. You know, the first time around, some people, and he's a guy like, you know, that is very much a creature of habit. And now that he's back to being a defensive coordinator, I think this is what he likes to do. I think that he's comfortable. Look, he drives the same Lexus that he bought in 2012.
Sure.
You know, he just doesn't, you know.
Hey, it's paid off.
You know, right, exactly. You know, well, probably was the day he got it, too. But, you know, but anyway, he's just like that. Now, Spagnuolo, I think that we could see him. I think he wants to be a head coach. I think it's ridiculous that he did not get any sniffs this time. I don't understand it.
Like the Raiders, instead of Pete Carroll, I'd be going Spags.
Right. You know, so yeah, I don't understand why he hasn't been yet, and Andy Reid even said it. I mean, you're looking at a guy who has been the mastermind behind a really dominant defense. He knows how to lead men. You know, yeah, you learn something the first time around, and now he's definitely got, you know, multiple Super Bowl rings. I think we'll see him as a head coach again.
Mike Jones, NFL writer for The Athletic, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. What do you think happens with Myles Garrett? How does this play out?
I think we wind up seeing him stay there.
Oh, really?
They have been adamant that they're not trading him. They don't want to rip this thing down and start all over again. You know, they've invested. They made a big mistake with Deshaun Watson. You know,
yeah.
They should not have. But they still have a good defense. And if they could just get, like we saw the year before when they had Joe Flacco in there at quarterback, they were still competitive. And so I think they feel like, look, if we can keep our defense together right here, we figure out our quarterback situation, we can still compete. And so I think that they wind up trying to fight this thing. Now, look, I guess you never say never. It depends on how much of a, you know, a D-bag that his agent wants to be and make it really uncomfortable. But, you know, he's a pro. I think that we wind up seeing them figure this thing out and he stays.
Mike, are we going to start to see this more and more, though, the big-time stars demanding out? I know we've seen it, you know, in the NBA, and we're, you know, in the Dallas market, and we're dealing with Luka and stuff, and Luka didn't want out, but are we going to start to see even more and more and more the big-time player just say, listen, I'm tired of this. I don't want to, and force them way out like, you know, like Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. I mean, the NBA is a little bit different, but we are seeing more of, in the last several years, we've seen more of like a player empowerment type of era out of the NFL. And guys who are like, look, I am tired of wasting, you know, my prime years with an organization that's not putting forth the effort that matches the commitment that they want from me. And because of that, we have seen some guys that, you know, kind of, you know, force their way out. You know, we could see it. And I think that, look, we have seen, you know, over the years, guys have gotten contracts that are, you know, more, they're not NBA contracts, but they have more guarantees and they have more of the power. They're not as beholden to the team. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, and look, if Myles Garrett does wind up forcing his way out, then that's going to be a domino and there are going to be more and more guys, you know, doing that.
Mike, what's the journey to 18 games going to be like, the timeline and all that?
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting. Right now, they are not even close. The players are pretty adamant that they don't want to go to 18 games. Now, look, they also said they didn't want to go to 17 games, but when they flashed, you know, more money, they went ahead and changed it. And at their press conference the other day, I asked the leaders of the NFLPA, look, you guys said you didn't want to go to 17, and you did. And they said, yeah, that was a bad – nobody wanted to. There was a lot of criticisms as soon as that CBA came out, the way that it was handled. They criticized DeMaurice Smith. They felt like doing the owners more of a favor than the players. But – Patrick Mahomes said yesterday, I don't want 18 games, but I understand they're trying to grow the business. If this happens, we would need a lot more for health and safety. They need extra bye weeks, he said, and we need better benefits for guys once they've retired to make sure for the rest of their lives they're taken care of. They don't have health care, you know, like that when they retire now. So that would be huge for the players if they were able to secure that, plus an extra bye week, you know, greater revenue split. Those are some of the things. Also, the roster size, what does that mean? You know, more jobs for players. So a lot of stuff is going to have to happen for them to get to the 18 games. We won't see negotiations. Probably it goes till 2030. So maybe 2027, maybe they'll start talking. But right now, the players, their stance is, you know, 18 games is a non-starter. So it's not happening next year. It's not going to happen the year after that. It's going to take a little while. And the owners really are going to have to really sweeten the pot significantly if they expect the players to change it. And then you just have to wonder, okay, what about the quality of the game? You know, I mean, yeah. I think that we are seeing it kind of go down, dip with 17 games here. And, you know, there's other ways to make money. And are you going to start losing people? Like, we look at the NBA, we talk about that. The game, the quality of the game is so bad, right, you know, that, you know, you're losing fans. So what's going to happen?
The Athletic debuting its new daily game connection sports edition. That's this Sunday, right?
Yes.
February 9th, its
yes.
debut.
Yep.
Is this a game show we're going to watch online?
No. Okay, so nobody plays. There's a game called Connections. It's on the New York Times site. You have, like, 12 words, or maybe it's 16 words, and you're trying to, like, link them up together. So this game, it's on your app. I start my day with the Wordle, Connections, Sports Connections, and the Mini. And so you'll have, like, Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft, you know, Jed York, David Tepper. Obviously, that's NFL owners.
Right.
There's a connection.
Okay.
But sometimes you'll have words or themes like, you know, a football, baseball, basketball, whatever, and you're trying to figure out what the connection is for them. So it's just cool. It's a game. It links these words, and sometimes it's sports figures, sometimes it's sports terms or history, but it's pretty fun. It's kind of addictive.
Right on.
It's fun.
Yeah. I look forward to digging in.
Yep.
Thank you, sir. Mike Jones of The Athletic here on Radio Row on 105.3 The Fan, brought to you by Stella Artois and the Low T Center. Enjoy the game, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Appreciate you. Yep. There he goes. We're back with Clint Sterner, former Cowboys quarterback in the nation.